Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapters 28 through 29, where we see that true contentment, gladness, and joy does not come from seeking popularity, fashion, or the things of this world. It comes by putting other people ahead of ourselves and serving them like Jesus would. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles chapter 28.
I've had people say to me, Pastor, how in the world do you expect people to find those or see those? Especially on a Sunday, it's super crowded here. Listen, if you want to give, you're going to give. If you want to give, you're going to find a way to give. I don't got to beat you over the head. I don't got to have a church thermometer. I don't got to have like a plaque of like the greatest giver of the month. I don't got to put it on the big screen or the back of the bulletin. Like, if you're getting blessed by this ministry and you're getting fed by it and this is your church, you biblically should be giving to it. And if I got to twist your arm to give, you're not doing it with a cheerful heart. Paul said that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful translates into hysterical in our language. It's like, I can't believe I get to give to God. That's the type of spirit you should have. Like, I can't believe I get to give to God just this little back of all that he's given to me. That's the type of giving. If it's this thing of like, oh, I don't know, I really wanted these jeans or those shoes, then just keep your money and go get those jeans or those shoes. God's not broke. I don't know what TBN or other broadcast networks are telling you. God's not broke. The coronavirus isn't affecting his kingdom. He owns 1,000 cattle on a hill. He doesn't need anyone's money. The church isn't going to cease. If Calvary Spend Support stops tithing, He's got everything under control. He's so misrepresented by so many of pastors that have not just an offering, but two offerings and three offerings and give out these malarkey statements that somebody here is supposed to give $20,000. If somebody here is supposed to give $20,000, God can show them. He doesn't need me to talk about it when his word's supposed to be going forth. Listen, though, I'm not apologizing for the need to give. You should give. If you're a Christian and this is your home church, or if you're visiting tonight, you have a different home church, wherever your home church is, you should give. That's biblical. And a tithe is just the start. I've taught this to you. It precedes the law. A tithe, a tenth, is just the start, in my opinion. And you should give. And God honors you, and he'll never be a debtor to any man. You can't outgive God. That's the one area in his word where he says, try me. See if I won't show myself evil. I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you. If you're here tonight and you can't pitch two pennies and you know Christ, you walk with Christ, but you don't apply this principle, I would suggest to you that's why. But you take God up on his word and you try him. He doesn't tell you to try him on many things. Watch and see how he just blesses you and takes care of you. But you got to do it with a willing heart. It's part of your worship. It's part of your response to him. And David doesn't like do this whole thing where he beats the people. He just leads by example, and they start to offer willingly too. And it says that they gave for the service of the house of God, these are the people now, 5,000 talents, that's 190 tons of gold, 10,000 drams, that's a coinage, 185 pounds of silver, 10,000 talents, that's 375 tons, and a brass 18,000 talents, that's 675 tons. And end of verse 7, it says 100,000 talents of iron. That's 3,750 tons. So you look at David and his leadership here. That's 46,000 tons of gold, silver, and brass. It's 93 million pounds plus chapter 22's word that gives to us all that was given. It's like $60 billion worth of gold, $9 billion of silver, 41,250 tons of gold and silver combined. You just think of the magnitude here. that's contributed to build the house of God. Are you impressed? Three of you. Wonderful. So it says, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart or complete heart, they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy, because giving produces gladness. Take it to the bank. Take that with you. Giving produces gladness. Even if it's not monetarily, just giving, serving, esteeming others above yourself. It's that old saying, right? Jesus, others, you. You just live that way, it brings gladness to you. You live all about yourself, you live self-consumed, it's miserable. If everything's about you, your appearance, how you look, how you dress, what you have, it's vanity and vexation. All the trends, all the styles, if that's what you're here for, man, you will be so high and dry. You'll chase the rest of your life. You'll get your house, you'll get your fashion, you'll get whatever it would be that you're after, all in order. You'll get your body the way that you want it, and then something will happen where that changes or your physical frame changes or whatever it would be, and you'll just be chasing the rest of your life. But you put other people above yourself after the Lord, and you just serve people and look to bless people and to minister to people, man, that's where real gladness and contentment comes. And we see that here. These guys are given to the Lord, and there's this gladness from the Lord as a response. So David, verse 10, we're almost done. He blesses the Lord before all the congregation, and he says, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Look, this is powerful. I could just kind of read through this here, and you'll get blessed. Watch this. He goes, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. This old 7-year-old man. This guy's just standing up on his feet. He's in his last days. And look what he's saying. He's getting very Pentecostal here at the end. All that is in the heaven and earth, it's yours, God. Thine is thy kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it is your hand to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you, and we praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should offer and be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from you, and of thy own have we given thee. God, whatever we gave you comes from you. Like, if I give you a tenth, the whole is yours. Whatever I have, God, it's yours anyways. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Whatever you're enjoying tonight, your kids, they're not yours. You're stewards over them. They're God's. Whatever you got, your own body, your health, you've been bought with a price. You're the Lord's. Your own life is on loan to him. Everything is the Lord's. And when you have that perspective, it isn't hard to give back to him. Because it's like it was yours to begin with. And the craziest part is he rewards us for giving back to him what was his anyways. He rewards us for, we're going to get crowns, Revelation teaches us. We're going to receive crowns of righteousness. We're going to get to glory. And they don't really belong to us. Because he's the one who put it in our heart to will and to do of his good pleasure. Even like this tonight, I'll use myself for an example. Like I come here and I'm teaching you God's word tonight. Listen, the gift to teach God's word is from God. So like I'm doing something for God, but I'm doing it on his gift that he gave to me. And then he's going to reward me for a gift that I'm using that isn't even mine anyways, that belongs to him. That's like somebody, you know, taking your coat and borrowing it, and then when they return it, you pay them for it. It's like, oh, thank you. Let me give you $250. Well, it's your coat. Why are you giving me any money? Well, I'm just so thankful that you were good with it and you gave it back to me. And it's, you know, I just want to, you would think that's absurd. This was never mine anyways. This was always yours. It was just on loan. And that's the absurdity, if I could use that word in a respectful manner. For the rewards of the Lord to his people. We only do good because he put it in our heart. And we only do good by the power of his spirit and the gifting of God's spirit. I don't know how there are churches and denominations that don't believe in the gifts of the spirit. That's crazy to me. We lean, we depend on the gifts of God's Spirit. And then he rewards us for being stewards. That's all that we were of what's his anyways. I hope that you're humble tonight. I hope that we all feel humble tonight for the graciousness of our Heavenly Father. He's like, it's all yours, Lord. And all we're doing is using what you've given us. We're strangers before thee, sojourners, verse 15. As were all of our fathers, our days of the earth are like a shadow. There's none abiding. Nobody stays forever. What's it, like, how old do you get to live for? 70? I looked it up a few weeks back. If my memory serves me correct, I think the average male life expectancy in America now is like around the age of 79. For some of you tonight, you better go home and get your house in order. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But if that be the case, I mean, even if you get to live to 80, 90, 100, no one's abiding forever. Whatever we accumulate, David's like, I'm a billionaire. It don't matter. I'm not taking it with me. Naked I came, naked I go. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Like, nothing's coming with me. I'm going back in the ground. And the same 17 elements that make up dirt, I'm turning back to. So what does it matter? It's all the Lord's. Like, it's just vanity and vexation to build my kingdom here. I'm not staying. Moth and rust steal and destroy and ruin what's here. Things get outdated here. New models come out here. I'm stocking up in glory. He's like, oh, Lord, our God, all this store that we prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name, it comes of thy hand. It's all yours. I know also, my God, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy the people. They're present here too, offering willingly to God. It's amazing. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of the people and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a whole, healthy, undivided, perfect heart. Give it to him, God, and I pray that over you tonight. Pray that over me tonight. To keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, to do all these things and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. Yeah. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers. They bowed down their heads and they worshiped the Lord and the king. They didn't worship the king. What that means there is he's standing in front of them and they worshiped in his presence the Lord. And that's the best sight ever. Man, I get to come up sometimes and see you all worshiping God. That's what I live for, to see people worship Jesus. And they sacrifice unto the Lord, offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all of Israel. And they did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. Why? Because Jesus makes you glad. It's not a buzzkill to follow Jesus. You aren't giving anything up. I'm sick of hearing that. I got to give this up to follow Jesus. You don't give anything up to follow Jesus that's of worth. It's a great privilege to follow Jesus. It's the abundant life to follow Jesus. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you it's going to be a buzzkill. There's going to be this great loss. The Lord adds to you. He blesses you. He makes his face shine upon you. It's a pleasure. It's a delight. There's joy in Jesus. There's an excitement in Jesus. I'm sorry if you haven't experienced that yet or haven't been ushered into it yet. I don't know what your experience up till now has been, but I hope that people that go here on a regular basis can testify to people who are inquisitive tonight that it's a joy to follow Jesus. Amen? Like, some of us got to tell our faces we're Christians. Tell our faces we're saved. I mean, there's a joy. Should be laughter. There should be excitement. There should be a cheery spirit at times, man. Like, it's a privilege to know the Lord and to follow the Lord. There's a joy in pursuing Jesus. So they are excited. They're praising. Solomon sits on the throne of the Lord, verse 23, as king instead of David his father, and he prospers, and all Israel obeys him, all the princes and the mighty men and the sons likewise of the king of David. They submit to Solomon, and the Lord magnifies Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel and bestows upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over Israel. So we'll leave them here, and next time we'll pick up with Solomon as the king. But before you check out right now, watch these closing remarks. And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, started at 30, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem, started at 37. And he died, the Bible says, in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Real quick, isn't that remarkable, the commentary of the Lord here of David? His days were full of honor. You that have studied the life of David, were his days full of honor? No. He's an adulterer. He's a murderer. And the Holy Spirit washes over that and says of him, he dies in a good old age, and his days were full of years, riches, and honor. Some of you tonight need to accept that you are accepted in Christ, that all your sins have been cast into the depths of the sea, and he remembers them no more. He has separated them from you as far as the east meets the west. It will do your heart well to accept that. What you used to do and what you used to be doesn't identify you. You are the son or the daughter of the king. And he looks at you, man, and you're like a chaste virgin in his sight. If Paul could say that of the Corinthian church, you know what Paul said to them, right? I desire to present you as a chaste virgin before the Lord. You know about the Corinthians. You got like guys in the church sleeping with their father's wife. I mean, you got people coming to communion to get drunk, and they're falling down dead. Can you imagine? At this time, we're going to have communion. The ushers are going to come forward, and the people are too. And all of a sudden, the people come forward, and they start chugging the wine and getting smashed at church, and God's judgment falling, and people dropping dead in the front of the sanctuary here. And Paul says this, my desire is to take you guys and present you as like a chaste virgin on her wedding night to her husband. Only Jesus does stuff like that. Yeah, you should give him a round of applause. So the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, the book of Nathan the prophet, not sure what to do with that, and in the book of Gad the seer, also not sure what to do with that. With all of his reign and all of his might, verse 30, and the times that went over him, that's interesting. I don't know who just said something. That's interesting. That's the only time that phrase is used in the Bible. And the times that went over him. A lot of times we say we're passing through time. Like we're going through time. No, we're not going through time. Time is going over us because time will eventually cease. We will not. Time is passing over us. We are not passing through time. Time will eventually cease. Time, space, matter are the things that constitute the universe. These things will cease. Or to use biblical language, they will roll up like a scroll. We will not cease. We are eternal beings. So time is passing over us, but we will endure forever. That is why it's important that we have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? Times went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdom of the countries. We've finished. Well done. Finish another book in the Bible. Amazing feat. So the worship team will come and they'll lead us in the last song. We got to fight to not just become religious in our activity. We got to fight against the monotony of attending church and, you know, the structure of church and knowing how everything's going to go and just constantly going through the motions. We got to know the Lord. We got to serve the Lord. We got to seek the Lord with all that we are. We got to stay sharp. We got to ask the Lord to keep us in a place where our hearts are burning for him. It will be an often prayer that we have to pray of, God, bring me back to the heart of worship, the place where it's all about you. God, restore to me those feelings and emotions and passions that I once had when the chains fell off me and the shackles were loose in God and I first heard of your forgiveness and your love and your grace. We got to fight for that because as we're living our lives, time is passing over us. And none of us are going to abide forever. And soon and very soon, we're going to stand before him. And we want to be ashamed of nothing. We want to have no regret. Time's rapidly passing over us. And when we stand before him as eternal spirits, as eternal beings, and we stand before him putting a face with a name, and he says to us by his grace, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We want there to be no regret. We want there to be no, I wish I went harder. I wish I fought more so. I wish I was more devoted. We just want it to be a thing of, oh, it feels so good to be home. That was taxing. That was vexing at times. It felt impossible periodically. But Lord, by your grace, I am here ready to receive and inherit all that you have gone ahead of me to prepare for me. Amen. So God, strengthen us tonight as we close this service. Time is passing over us. And Lord, we want to be busy about your business. We don't want to be carnal. We don't want to be these Christians who got one foot in and one foot out. God, we want to be serious about you. We want to be constant in you, firm, unshakable, unmovable, always abounding in your work. We want to be people of conviction, people who are anchored, God, by your word. That's where our opinions are formulated from and by your truths, God, that those things would establish us and keep us and hedge us, that, Lord, you would wipe away any spirit of fear that's here tonight, that you'd give us a sound mind, that our minds would be stayed on you. Thanks for the promise, God, that those whose minds are stayed on you would have perfect peace. Give us, Lord, sound minds. Give us the spirit, Lord, that has power and love abounding upon us. Strengthen our countenance, God. Give us that resolve to run the race to win. Thanks for this holy convocation. Thanks for seeing us through another book in your word, God. Thanks for putting it in our hearts to do this, to move through line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth. We bless you. We hail you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's in Jesus' glorious name, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing a closing song to the Lord. God bless you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.